This is the Experience Lab, the official podcast of digital scientists from Atlanta, Georgia. We're an experience lab that explores and builds digital products. My name is Rob Hall, and I'm the Senior Director of Product at DS.
And I'm Jay Cosgrove, Senior Product Manager.
Thanks for listening. So the other day I was drinking a blueberry tart. Have you guys ever had tarts before? Are you into those?
I have no clue what you're talking about right now.
It's beer, Jay.
It's like a sour.
Oh, yeah. A blueberry tart sour. Yes.
It's a sour beer. Sour.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I do like sours, but I've never had that.
Tart means like super sour.
It was very sour, but kind of in a good way. It's hard to explain. Like, it wasn't so sour that it was like eating Sour Patch Kids.
Well, I'm glad you differentiated that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not as bad as like a Goza.
What is that?
Have you ever had a Goza?
I don't know if I have.
Goze. It's like this old Austrian or German or something recipe for the most sour thing that you've ever had in your life that is carbonated and has alcohol in it, but they call it a beer. I don't know if that's really true, but it's like drinking Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
Or salt water with lemon in it. Yeah.
Ew. That's awful.
People love it.
Well, joining us today on the podcast is our wonderful colleague, Jake Henley.
Hello, everybody.
Jake is one of our senior developers here at Digital Scientists. And today we're going to have a conversation about a number of things, not the least of which might include some references to craft beer, which we have a mutual appreciation of. But the primary reason we're here today is to talk about our experiences using certain mobile frameworks in building mobile applications, in particular, the React Native framework. So we get asked certain questions pretty often about whether or not we do native development. And by native development, we're typically referring to iOS or Android. What is the real story when we're speaking of native development? And so there's been this evolving trend over the years to say, I can create native apps that are truly native, but without knowing Swift or Objective-C or Java on the Google side. Jake, can you define really what is React Native and where did it come from? How does it work? And is it fair to say that we're creating truly native apps by using it?
Yeah, so React Native is a pretty awesome framework from Facebook. They started working on it like 5 or 6 years ago. And it's generally, like you said, it's a JavaScript framework that allows you to build native apps using the prolific language of JavaScript, which, you know, most people know. At the end of the day, React Native is just React. So another product from Facebook is React, which is a JavaScript framework for user interfaces. What they've done with React Native is, a couple of things. Generally, they've changed the kind of target of development from what everybody knows and loves, HTML, to native platforms, generally iOS versus Java, Android.
It's a JavaScript framework. Are we really building native apps with it?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I guess a good distinction to make here is where it came from. Facebook obviously had React first, which was this game-changing framework for building UIs, and they wanted to be able to apply that to native, right? So normally UIs from React would be compiling down to HTML or shipped as HTML, building, you know, websites and all that. With React Native, they implemented a different view layer, if you will, that allowed like the same React we know and love to control native UI elements on both Android and iOS. So you can kind of think of it as with normal web development, obviously you're rendering divs and HTML, you know, paragraph tags, all that. With React Native, you're rendering views and texts primarily. And under the hood, those are actually proxied down to truly native UI components. So it's not a hybrid app. It's not some kind of weird offshoot. It's a directly native application that just runs in JavaScript land.
That's awesome. You mentioned something interesting there. You mentioned hybrid apps. And I think right at the front of this, it would be cool to define maybe the three distinctions, or at least that's how they lay out in my mind, is you have truly native apps, and then you have kind of React Native, which is what we're talking about today. But the precursor to those were sometimes called hybrids, right?
And we used to do a lot of actual hybrid work, right?
Before we switched to React Native, we were doing a lot of stuff with Apache Cordova and a framework called Ionic. So I can start there. So a hybrid app is an application that's kind of shoehorning web technologies into the native world. So what that means is back in the day, Cordova came out and allowed you to ship HTML as a native app. And all that would do under the hood is pretty much render that HTML in a web browser without any of the Chrome. Chrome being like the URL bar or the back button or any of that. It really just took an HTML page, dropped it in a web browser and said, hey, look, it's native, even though it's really not. Mm. So before hybrids, obviously there was native, you know, Objective-C, Java, those are the two languages of the two big platforms decided on, and that's what they ran with. And then Cordova came out, let's see, what was it? PhoneGap came out first, which was an Adobe product, which was then open sourced and donated to the Apache Software Foundation, which became Apache Cordova. And then a few others came out as competitors around the same time, mostly because people were trying to monetize the idea of hybrid frameworks. So you had a thing called Titanium, which charged license fees, and then another one called Xamarin, which was for like the .NET C# crowd. And then PhoneGap had another like pro level, or I think it was called PhoneGap Build or something like that, where they were trying to get a subscription tacked on to the hybrid framework. Mm-hmm. But then React Native jumps on the scene, and it was awesome. It was so much better than all that other stuff, except everything was broken in the beginning. Like React Native was absolutely terrible until like version 0.40. In the beginning, you had to be a native developer to use React Native.
So lots of promise, but not a lot of proof.
Exactly. So React Native is 5 or 6 years old. I'd say about 3 years ago, maybe a little bit more, it got to the point where you didn't have to be super versed in native development and native ecosystems in order to build React Native apps. Meaning like you still had to know Apple's Xcode and Android Studio back then, but you didn't have to be able to build an app and solve like the red screens of death that come up a million times.
We've seen those screens. Those are fun.
Yeah. So you obviously defined what hybrid is, but what was like some of the immediate pluses, if you will, that we saw by switching to React Native?
The number one plus for switching was being able to use React, which in my mind is a fantastic framework. The other would be performance and the general differences in the ecosystem. So with Cordova, you're leveraging these crazy plugin systems and compilation that's shipping these different web views, and the deployments are crazy. And I mean, it's kind of a mess. Ionic made that much better. Ionic is built on top of Cordova, and they like initially used Angular as the front end view engine, and they streamlined a lot of the build processes and command line tools. So we used that, which was definitely better. And then switching to React Native, it was like night and day. All of a sudden, it was very clear that we're no longer building in web technologies. We're building in native technologies, just in a language and framework that we're highly familiar with and very adept at.
You're saying all the way down to just like UI interaction. You could tell.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, the big distinction there being, I don't want to get too nerdy here. Even with Ionic, you're still rendering divs, right? You're rendering HTML and then hoping that renders properly in a web view, which it does for the most part. But with React Native, you're rendering what's called a view, which intelligently proxies down to like the UI view on iOS and the equivalent on Android. So it's truly native UI and rendering performance, touch events, like everything better.
It's not a rendered web page that's trying to pretend to be a UI element.
Correct, yeah.
Jake, if I'm a developer, why would I want to choose React Native over purely native development? If I have a native skill set, why would I want to go with React Native over just building something in Swift?
Sure. So I think that comes down to a few other questions about the project and about your team and everything else. In the context of the question you just asked, like if you're a native developer building for the iOS ecosystem, you know Swift, you have experience there, and you're not building for Android, then absolutely use Swift. Stay in that ecosystem. You know, clarifying, if you never have plans to build for Android, then there's really no reason to jump out of iOS ecosystem. But the big draw comes when you want iOS and Android, That's a big one. Then I would say React Native all day. Or if you have future plans to build Android, it may be something to consider.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like managing it from a single code base would, I mean, is, we've seen it just so much easier, especially when you get into the maintenance side of things. And when you factor in turnover of your team, or what we call a bus rate or vacation rate, whatever you want to call it, you know, who's out, how is it going to affect us actually getting to things if an issue were to come up?
Yeah, absolutely. And the team is the last one. If you have like a massive team that where you've got five guys that know Java and five guys that know Swift, and you've got budget and runway and time frame lines up, I mean, you may want to choose native. But if you don't have a very highly specific team in that fashion, even if you do, I still say, you know, at least look into React Native. But React Native is great because of the low barrier to entry. Again, it's JavaScript, it's React, languages and frameworks that people know. And the barrier to entry behind actually getting up to speed, say junior mid-level developer coming in and being able to contribute to the application, is much lower than it would be in either the iOS or Android ecosystems, in my opinion.
So the ramp time, you know, if you have a fairly new developer on the team, you can get them integrated a lot faster.
Right. Yeah.
Any minuses that we should consider of going with React Native?
I mean, there's a few different disadvantages there. And again, a lot of it is project centric. So if you're going to build like a new Clash of Clans game, like an immersive 3D application or some kind of AR VR application, then React Native is definitely not the way to go, because it does it is abstracted from the lower level just enough to where you can't really hit those performance things. I mean, React Native is fantastic for business logic driven applications, but if you want real-time video processing, or you want to leverage something like the Core ML stuff that iOS has got on device, where you can actually run machine learning models on the device itself, then you probably want to go native there. And again, if you're only targeting the Apple ecosystem and you have those devs with that experience, you can do that. But I mean, there's still a compelling case to use React Native for anything that doesn't require those highly performant or device specific functionalities. So for instance, if you're building that AR VR app where, you know, like you can, your kid can hold it and point at the cabinets and draw on it. So instead of them actually drawing on the cabinets with a crayon, you got an app for that, right? If that's all the app is, then you should go native. But if you want to build like a little thing where parents can share their kids drawing on the cabinets, then all the business logic around that interaction can be React Native, can be reused across iOS and Android, and can be built out by people who aren't necessarily like your super senior engineer that's leveraging that Core ML to build out this awesome interaction for the kid. Like the login screen can be created outside of that in React Native and still work very well.
One of the criticisms that I've heard of React Native is that the compiled apps, what actually runs on your device, can be a little clunky and maybe more resource intensive than is really necessary. For example, like I've even heard that Facebook has migrated away from using React Native in certain cases. Like I think their Messenger app doesn't use it anymore. Why is that? And is that a problem inherent to the framework itself? Is that a thing that's really a showstopper?
It's definitely not a showstopper. I mean, we've had some issues like that where terrible Android devices running React Native apps would drain battery at a faster rate in some cases. And there are, like at massive organizations, other compelling reasons to not be React Native. Airbnb has moved away from it. Facebook may be moving away from it. But contextually, those are companies with thousands and thousands of developers, and the knowledge share that they have is just phenomenal. And the budget, obviously. But specifically to compiled apps, taking more resources, I mean, I'd say that makes sense in some cases, because you can kind of think about it like React Native is native with a couple caveats, right? If you need to do native stuff, you have to interact with a React Native bridge. It is a compiled JavaScript app being shipped, so you're relying on a connection layer between React Native and the underlying native language, which, you know, iOS, Swift or Objective-C.
Sure. So there's essentially a translation layer that's required to make the connection from the JavaScript that you're writing and the lower level SDKs on the platform itself.
Sure. I don't think that would lead to too many performance.
In terms of like the size of the app, it adds overhead.
You'd be surprised. React Native apps are actually very, very small. Even in comparison to Swift apps, Swift apps are generally larger, especially Java. That really comes down to what libraries and SDKs you're including. Like if you pull in Google's entire library of SDKs into your Android app, then all those libraries are going to be 10, 100 times larger than whatever your React Native app compiled down to in terms of size. The other issue there is the runtime itself. So while it is native code running on a native device, the React Native application itself gets run primarily in the JavaScript core, which is a JavaScript engine that's on device, which then communicates with the native layer for UI and various other things like that. And there are some issues. There's some differences in JavaScript core than what you would have with, say, Chrome. In that case, Facebook has made massive strides. They actually they wrote an entire JavaScript engine called Hermes that they ship with React Native now by default for Android devices because they had so much trouble with Android JavaScript runtimes. So they just rebuilt one and are now shipping it as standard.
Well, there you go. From your perspective as a developer, do you enjoy working with React Native? Is there another framework that you're like, that's actually more fun to use?
I mean, from a developer's perspective, React Native is the most fun to use framework. You're going to run into issues no matter what as a developer, but even like debugging and just the general flow of the code and the massive community make building apps in React Native a really great experience.
All right, Jake, you got to give us one story because I know you're a resident React Native guy here. Story of a fun challenge while building an app for one of our clients.
And you can make it as technically nerdy as possible.
All right. One story about a client. So there was a client called Goat. I can say the names of the clients, right?
No.
Wrong.
So there was a client called GoFan that we actually built a number of apps for. We had a really good relationship with those guys. We initially built them like a ticketing app that was, hey, it kind of ties in here. The first one we built was in Ionic, and it went over really well. So that was a ticket purchasing app, more or less. The second one was the problem they were trying to solve is they wanted people standing at sporting events to be able to scan digital tickets of event goers with the application. And they also had these things called Honeywell scanners and all that. So,
oh yes. Right. I remember testing on those things.
Yes. The legendary ticket scanner.
Those beeps ring in my memory in my dreams at night.
Beep, beep.
Yep. And if it's the wrong ticket, meh. You know, we made it loud. Great. But so that was a super challenging app to build for a couple of reasons. One was it had to function in two capacities. It needed to scan tickets with the camera on device, like QR code reader style, which I think a lot of people are familiar with. And two, it needed to be compatible with an iPod. The iPod could then be slid into a physical Honeywell scanning device and connect the application through, you've probably seen these, are QR code readers, they shine the red laser, think about going to the grocery store, it's pretty much that. So that was very interesting because it was the first time we actually got to dig into the React Native Bridge. And the React Native Bridge is, again, the communication channel between React Native Land and Native Land. Right, it's the ability for you to write custom Objective-C or Swift or Java and then expose that functionality that you wrote natively to your React Native application. And so that's what we did. We leveraged the Honeywell had a nice SDK in Objective-C. So we wrote some code around that that would forward various QR codes, battery levels, device statuses, all this stuff to our React Native app, and we could manage that stuff. And when we initially started the project, we were using the React Native Bridge is, I guess you'd call it method delegation, where you write a object in Objective-C and put a method on it, and then you pull in a header and export the module, and you pretty much expose that object's method to React Native. Then there was an addition of, or there was a decision to refactor that, so we changed that to leverage React Native Bridge's eventing system, which provided us with a much more seamless communication between the React Native app and native, because JavaScript is a very event-driven language, and this just turned all of our custom code into an event emitter, which would just fire off events, and we could consume it in JavaScript just like we do everything else, like click events and all that stuff, except this time, these are custom events coming from this hardware device that's like QR code scanned, and here's a QR code, so we could check that against our tickets to make sure, you know, nobody's trying to sneak into the event with a bad ticket, or they haven't already redeemed it, or all right. That kind of stuff. So that was it was very fun.
Next question I want to dig into a little bit. From a solution architecture point of view, if I'm a customer and I know I'm going to have a mobile app, how should I approach assessing whether or not React Native is right for my project?
The first question to ask is, am I only targeting the Apple ecosystem? So if you have no plans to build an Android app and you really want to leverage different devices in the Apple ecosystem, like a watch and a iOS device, and then like tvOS, that's probably something you should consider going native for. I mean, it's pretty much just a list of reasons not to go with React Native, and that list is very short. So performance requirements, if you need highly performant stuff, or you're leveraging Core ML or building kind of AR, augmented reality stuff, you probably don't want
3D games, right?
Yeah, exactly. 3D games, it's probably not best for that. It also depends on your team. So if you have a bunch of people familiar with web technologies on your team and you don't want to go out and hire native devs, or you don't want to ramp up your in-house folks, then you probably want to go React Native, because again, the barrier to entry and learning curve behind that is much, much lower than, say, figuring out how to build a Kotlin application. But at the end of the day, build it in React Native, because React Native is awesome.
from a developer's perspective, Jake, if I know a little JavaScript and I'm familiar with HTML and CSS, how can I get started learning React Native? What's the best way to learn?
The first step would be learn React. So if you don't know React, then jumping right into React Native is doable, but it's probably not what you want to do, because going into React Native does add the additional complexities of the native ecosystems. And generally it's harder to build apps. Native apps than it is to build web apps. So there's just a larger overhead there. And say you know React, how would you get started building React Native? Honestly, starting on the docs. React Native has amazing docs. They've got a great community. There's a ton of existing libraries and tutorials out there that can just get you up and running extremely quickly.
Jake, would you mind doing us the favor of explaining a little bit of your background?
As long as it doesn't violate your witness protection program contract.
I plead the fifth on that. And obviously, this background is the one that the witness protection people built for me. So,
okay. Cool.
I've been a developer for 8 years now. Took a less traditional route. Went from mountain guide to developer via boot camp. And then I had taught myself a little bit before that, and I really just learned on my feet for my career. And now over the past 7 years, I think this most recent app we built was app number 11 or 12, depending on how you count them. That's 11 or 12 native apps. So that's been fun.
Did you say you were a mountain guide?
Yep. I never told you this, Rob.
Well, I knew you were into climbing, but.
So yeah, before all this, it was a, I did a few outdoor courses, lived out of my truck in Utah. And I mean, I say mountain guide, but I really mean like Sherpa who doesn't shower. and gets paid beer money to hike with older individuals up small hills.
Sounds like the life. Why would you trade that in?
Especially the not showering part.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to continue. I fell off that mountain like 10 years ago and broke my back, shattered my leg and all that. So I just kind of decided it wasn't a sustainable career.
We're glad you're still with us.
So is there any like tips or tricks that you've learned that you would want to share with maybe developers out there that are just getting their hands dirty with React Native?
So first off, I would say leverage as much existing technology as possible when you're first getting started. So there are a lot of libraries out there for React Native that take a lot of the burden off. There's one called Native Base and another one called React Native Elements that allow you to kind of drop in pre-built components without having to get into the nitty-gritty of like, what does this touchable opacity do? Instead, you can just say, here's a button from one of these libraries. And secondly, I would say, keep in mind that since it's React, you can leverage any non-UI library that React leverages. So whether that's Redux or Rematch or any of that. Also, you should definitely use a state management library like Redux or MobX and probably Rematch on top of that. But yeah, just getting started, make sure you read all the docs and, you know, keep your stuff up to date.
Thank you for listening to the Experience Lab from Digital Scientists. To learn more about our team and the great work we do, or even hire us, visit our website at digitalscientists.com.